This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. And we are here in the studios of KSFR with Linda Siegel with our legislative update. Welcome.
Well, good morning, Mary Charlotte.
Good morning. Good cold morning.
Ooh, yes.
So we are now, what are we, in the third week or halfway through the 30-day legislative session?
So I think now we have 13 days left of the legislative session, something like that.
Lucky 13 days left, and it's all about the budget, ladies and gentlemen.
It is. And, of course, finally, yesterday, the House Appropriations Committee passed their version of the final budget, and that's going to go to the floor of the whole House on Saturday. And there, of course, this was a difficult budget for the legislators because of the declining revenue. So,
and declining every 15 minutes, it appears.
Yeah, it seems like. I think oil is still on the downward trend, so that really impacts our budget, as we've talked about before. So there's some winners and losers in this budget, a lot of losers, because when you have only $30 million of new revenue, that, and with expenses, insurance expenses and operating expenses increasing throughout state government, this means that the budgets are essentially flat or declining. But the winners are, sort of, the public education got really a lot of the money. They got $31 million, new dollars, to go to their needs, and that is essentially a flat to declining budget because most of the districts will lose money on that. The corrections department, which is in, was in dire straits, particularly with their employees not having enough correction officers, forcing people to work overtime, dangerous situations, high health care costs with hepatitis C, they got about $12 million new dollars. And
Wow, that's a huge percentage.
It is. It's very significant for them and very needed. The other agency that got a lot of money was HSD for Medicaid. There's a $38 million increase for Medicaid, which is probably not enough. And so we'll be looking at, in the budget itself, it says that provider rates will have to be cut. And that means all the healthcare providers, physicians, nurses, occupational therapists, psychologists, everybody's going to see a cut there for Medicaid.
Oh, boy.
So also cutting, which is particularly of concern to me as the Santa Fe Community College Board of Trustee, higher education got a 0.4% cut. So for us in Santa Fe Community College, it's not quite as bad as some of the larger institutions.
0.4%.
0.4%. So, you know, maybe it's not hugely significant to us, but we also didn't get some expansion money that we really needed for these programs that we took over from Northern New Mexico College, like the automotive program and the radiology technology program. So it's going to be, the next year is going to be difficult for education, higher ed, for all of our public agencies.
Now, you and I talked about this over the last few weeks, but has the thought of, for example, repealing tax cuts ever been discussed?
Well, actually, Senator John Arthur Smith, who is chair of the Senate Finance Committee and a very powerful conservative Democrat who's been saying, you know, we have a structural problem in government with our funding. He's been saying that for years. He actually has a bill to suspend some of the corporate income tax cuts that were passed the other year. But that's not going to pass.
Yeah. So really, I mean, there's this sort of idea that there's scarcity, but it's just human created.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've made a lot of tax cuts, starting with Governor Richardson, and
yeah,
we haven't really made any tax increases for quite a while. And in order to get some of this new money to fund current government, the legislature went in and took $50 million worth of cash balances out of different funds. They've done this before. They raided the licensing board, the professional health care and other licensing boards, and took their cash balances. So
oh my goodness.
We've been sweeping, as they call it, lots of funds to keep government running in the next year.
Is that punitive toward the people who are actually managing their own budgets well?
Well, not really.
Okay.
I mean, it's just, if you've got money in your bank account, we're going to go get it.
All right. So there's the budget, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there's also, in addition to education budget issues, there are education bills.
Yes, there have been a few education bills, some similar to bills that have been introduced in the past, like the third grade reading retention bill. And that bill has passed out of the House and is over in the Senate. There's always been a Senate version, but this year there wasn't, because the senator that had carried that, a Republican senator who had carried that bill, said she really felt like maybe this wasn't the way to do it. So that's still going to be something that the governor is pushing, and we'll see how far it goes in the Senate. It's died in the Senate before, so that bill may not pass. But another bill which is quite important in public education is some changes to the actual funding formula. And though it is a controversial bill in relationship to charter schools, because it does three things with the funding formula, and the one thing that's controversial is that it takes the small school adjustment away from charter schools. And that a small school adjustment is where a small school gets more money per student than a larger school. So you have smaller charter schools and smaller public schools getting maybe $13,000, $14,000 a student, whereas Santa Fe public schools get $7,500 a student or somewhere in that range. So it's controversial. It does it over time, removes that small school subsidy from charter schools. But that bill just passed a committee in the Senate yesterday, the Senate Finance Committee, and will be going to the floor now.
Does that take money away from small public schools or only small charter schools?
In the funding formula, it's only the charter schools.
Now, there is a lot of research that says that small schools are really healthy for students and for communities.
Right. I believe that study says schools around 250 students are, you know, better for learning. But, you know, realistically speaking, you have to work within your budget, and small schools are not cost effective.
Yeah, unless you take into account all of the other things when you look at large schools that have security systems and metal detectors and things like that that you don't have in small schools, and when you look at outcomes and so on. I mean, we always talk about these things as if they were contained within themselves, but every budget issue has social consequences that aren't contained in the numbers that department would ever get.
Right, of course. And also, small schools, you can have small school components within large schools and still accomplish some of those tasks. So that's a very complicated issue that you should probably get someone from the schools who really knows to really talk about that.
Very good
idea. Because that is, it's a hot issue.
Let's talk about ethics reform and reform of various kinds.
Yeah, you know, one of the hot issues for this session, because of the Secretary of State having to leave her office and because of prior elected officials in the past being removed or committing crimes while they were in office, ethics has been a hot topic for 5 or 6 years. Bills on ethics commissions have been introduced. And once again this year, we've had a couple of statutory bills introduced to create an ethics commission. But evidently they've never gotten a message from the governor to actually discuss them. But a couple of legislators introduced a constitutional amendment to create an ethics commission, which doesn't have to have a message from the governor because that goes, passes both the House and the Senate and then goes on the a ballot in the November election. And that that bill actually had passed its first committee last week. That doesn't look too hopeful right
now. With
13
days left.
Yeah, right. But it is being discussed. It is important. It would create a nine-member commission where you have people appointed by the various political leaders. So it would be bipartisan. But I don't see that passing this session, even though it's a very important issue to provide a place where complaints can be addressed by a bipartisan commission.
Now, this would be specifically for elected officials?
Elected officials, right.
So the actual criminal code isn't enough. In other words, it works better to have a panel like this if
yes.
somebody's committing a crime.
Well, or doing something that may or may not be legal. Some issues with campaign contributions or other kinds of behavior that may or may not be criminal, but this commission could review it and make recommendations.
Also, I think if somebody is reviewed by an ethics panel
mm-hmm.
and the facts of that case come out, even if it's not an actual felony, it
right.
gives voters information.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
What about campaign finance reform? Is that on the...
Well, again, that was another hot topic at the beginning of the session because we do have problems with the reporting system. If you've ever gone on the Secretary of State's webpage and you want to look up somebody's campaign contributions, it's not as maneuverable. It's not as easy to do that. I mean, I have to make... As a lobbyist, I have to make reports twice a year about who I've contributed to and provide information about that. And every time it's like, okay, how do I do this? It doesn't flow. And political candidates, they have to report periodically, like I think it's four times a year when they're running for office, who are their campaign contributions coming from? What are their expenses? And again, it's probably easier to put that information in, but if you're the public trying to look at that, it doesn't flow out. It's not as transparent as it could be. And then there are ways that lobbyists should be reporting their clients' contributions. And so there have been a lot of issues and problems around reporting. So there have been several bills introduced to clean that up, make it easier, and also report what we call dark money, where money coming into certain kinds of nonprofits where they don't have to report who their contributors are. Like four or five bills introduced, only one has made it out of one committee. So I don't think we're going to see any real reform on that this year either.
Now, capital outlay reform. Reform is now our theme.
Yes. Pretending to reform, apparently.
Yeah, talking about
reform. Yes.
What about that?
No. Okay, well, every year for years we've talked about capital outlay reform. How do we make sure that the most important projects in the state and in your local community, how do we make sure that they get the funding and then that they actually get built? Because sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years to accumulate enough money in a project in a community to have that actually be able to come to total fruition. And the reform that Think New Mexico has proposed, there's no real bill that's gone anywhere with that. One piece of legislation that's gotten out of one committee is a bill to create transparency. We're big on talking about transparency, not so big on making it happen. But this bill would require the posting of all the information from the legislators about where they put their money. I've put so much to the Santa Fe Community College building their automotive. I put so much to the public schools to do this. I gave so much to the city of Santa Fe, the county, to do this.
That's not required
that
now?
That is not easily accessible.
That's extraordinary.
Yes, it is. And so this bill would just mandate that every legislator post be able to that the citizens be able to see where did their money go. And so it had a very difficult hearing, the first hearing I sat in on that, but it did pass. But here again, one committee, not very many days left.
Very interesting. So just staying on capital outlay for a moment, right now the way it works is that a legislator will get a pot of money at the end of the session.
Or at the beginning.
At the beginning of the session.
Yeah.
That he or she can then spend.
Allocate
in their district.
Yes. As an example, this year, and the money is kind of low this year because capital outlay is down also, every senator is getting $900,000 and every House member is getting $500,000.
And so what you're telling me is that right now we don't know where that goes?
It's not publicly accessible. That is correct.
Goodness.
Where the legislators put their money. Now, many legislators will tell you. And right now we have some that are actually posting what they're allocating their money for, but it is not a requirement.
Very, very interesting. We're talking to Linda Siegel with today's Legislative Update. Now, what else have we got? We talk endlessly about driver's licenses, and a compromise was reached, but the governor doesn't like it.
Yeah, so the House bill came over, which created one-year driving certificates, required background checks and
fingerprints.
And actually, it was, I think, so onerous that most people wouldn't do it because it would be reported through ICE and all kinds of things. Anyway, that got amended in the Senate to create a two-year
driving privilege
authorization.
Driving authorization.
Yes. Which any of us could get.
Okay.
You and I could get it, and undocumented people could get it. And then anybody who wants a real ID, they could get the real ID. So the Senate committee tweaked it a little bit, made it 2 years, and took away the background check, and now the governor and the House say they don't like it. So we'll see what happens.
And so there's this sort of pressure, we have to do this year, but in fact we don't have to do this year because we have another session before the Department of Homeland Security says, I mean, it's 2018.
Yeah. It'll still be problematic for people who want to get on to federal facilities. I understand now we can't get into White Sands, the national park, without having a real ID or your passport.
Right.
So, it's somewhat problematic, but we could solve it this session.
We could solve it this session, but if we don't, it goes to next session,
right.
And it'll be interesting because, of course, the entire House will turn
over. Will be new in 17.
There will be a presidential election.
Yeah, in 16, yes.
This year. So by the time you and I are here next year talking about this very thing, the whole picture of the legislature could be totally different.
Yes.
And we don't know which way it's going to go, especially if it's, for example, a Trump versus Clinton presidential election or something along the Cruz versus Sanders. What will that mean for the New Mexico legislature?
Right. It'll be fun. As it always is.
It's always fun. And it's always fun to have you here on the Radio Cafe. Linda Siegel is here with the Legislative Update. Now we're doing a couple more weeks.
Right. Yep.
And we will no doubt have a legislative wrap up as well.
Yes. And, so three more times. Probably.
Three more times, and we will let people know what is happening, what has happened, and what didn't happen here in the legislature. And thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.